Okay, quiz time. Quiz time. What am I referring to? Okay, by the end of today, each of us will have completed this particular action approximately 23,000 times. Okay, have a little think about it. Breathing. Well done. Absolutely right. We will have inhaled and exhaled 23,000 times. 600 million times in the average lifetime. Isn't that extraordinary? Now, in one way, prayer is just like breathing, an action crucial for life's support, or at least is the case for Christians, certainly. The follower of Jesus would say that prayer is just like breathing. It is the oxygen of our life in Christ. But there's a problem with that analogy, because we breathe without thinking about it, don't we? I mean, I know you're now thinking about it because we're talking about it, but usually we breathe without thinking about it, don't we? Automatically, 23,000 times in 24 hours, in and out. But that is not how we pray, is it? We need reminding. We need telling. We need teaching. Prayer is not automatic. Even though many of us will know the joy and the delight of a relationship with God through prayer, nevertheless, we tend to clam up, don't we, in prayer. Lord, teach us to pray, we read. We need help to pray just as much as the disciples needed help to pray. And what did Jesus do in response to that question? He taught them a prayer. He just taught them a prayer. He didn't take them to a special place or a special building, helpful though those things might be. He didn't teach them to kneel or stand or shut their eyes or hold their hands up or hold their hands together, helpful though some of those things might be for us. He just taught them a prayer, a really good prayer. He didn't give them a doctrine lesson. He didn't teach them yoga. He didn't tell them to empty their minds and center their beings. He didn't even hand out smooth pebbles or tell them to light a candle. No. He just taught them a really good prayer. Simple, short, relational, list-like in some ways. We're often told that our prayers shouldn't be lists. Well, Jesus didn't get that memo, did he? I brought with me some of the books that I've got on prayer. Don Carson on prayer, Tim Keller on prayer, C.S. Lewis on prayer, Richard Foster on prayer, I don't know who on prayer. They're all quite good. I haven't read them all. But they're all quite good. They're all quite helpful. That one is very long. That's why I can't remember who wrote it. But Jesus just taught them a prayer. He did more in 48 words than anyone has ever done before or since. Yeah, I know it's 62 words if you add in the doxology at the end, the glory bit that the church added about 100 years later. But it is based on a bit of Jeremiah, so we'll let them have that. It's striking, isn't it? Perhaps we've overcomplicated prayer. I mean, he did say a few other things about prayer, Jesus. Of course he did. And there is the rest of the Bible which says a fair bit about prayer. But when Jesus was asked, Lord, teach us to pray, 48 words later, a lesson had been taught. And the words he taught are perhaps some of the most well-known set of phrases in all history, in all the world. Powerful enough to be banned in some places, beautiful enough to comfort the dying, simple enough for the reception class, memorable enough to open up the elderly person with dementia. Our Father. It's a model to use and learn from, not a mantra to recite. Now, the prayer is normally prayed as a whole, and that seems to be the way Jesus taught it, but it can also serve as a template for prayer as well, a series of hooks onto which to hang our prayer. But the first and probably the most important thing that Jesus teaches about prayer here is probably the aspect that's most easily overlooked. Who? Who it is to whom we pray, Father, our Father who loves us. Or in Matthew's longer version of the prayer, clearly Jesus taught it more than once, Our Father in heaven. Now, I heard a preacher say in a sermon I was listening to recently online that whenever someone comes to this particular preacher, this pastor who's a South African, whenever someone comes to him with a problem in their prayer life, he first asks them to describe who it is they're praying to. I think that's a very good idea. And he says this, 9 times out of 10, he said, those people, they describe a different person than the God revealed to us in Scripture. They weren't describing their Father in heaven as revealed here in the Word. They often use the word Father, and most of us will probably use the word Father in our prayers. But when they described the person whom they were praying to, they're in their mind's eye, it wasn't our Father. He suggested that most people's troubles with praying could be solved overnight if only they would understand that God is Dad. God is dead. God is dead, he said in his, that's my South African accent. I thought, God is dead? Hang on, that doesn't help your prayer life. No, God is Dad. That's what he was saying. God is Dad. Not an angry judge who wants to whack us with the law. Not a boss who is waiting to fire us from his company. Not a distant force whom we cannot approach, who doesn't really care anyway. Not a pompous uncle who's quite frankly unimpressed with our pitiful words and our petty demands. No, the child of God prays to Dad. God is Dad. God is Dad. God is Dad, he kept saying in the talk. And if you think that sounds rather cutesy, or I'm making it sound that way for the sake of argument, well, I'm not. The words are pater haemon. Our Father, pater haemon in Matthew's account. Actually, in some manuscripts of Luke's account, it says the same. And if you look at the footnote in your Bible, pater haemon, our Father. It's the way young Greek-speaking children would speak of their dads in Jesus' day. Abba, of course, is the Aramaic word that Jesus would have had on his lips that was then put into New Testament Greek. Now, I do remember the first time when Samuel, my son, called me Dada. I loved it. It was fantastic. I mean, he also called Jane Dada as well, and the TV, and his blanket, and whatever else you were feeding him at the time. Everything was Dada apart from his tractor, which was Tractor, of course. God is Dad. God is Dad. Who are you praying to? I wonder. So when thinking about Jesus and prayer over these next 2 Sundays, the first thing, and perhaps the most important thing for us to learn or relearn, is that the person listening to your prayers is your Father who loves you. Now, the earthly father figures that you have or may have had may or may not help in that regard. Later in our passage, Jesus says that even earthly fathers can be good and kind, and they know how to give good gifts, or hopefully they do. But whatever the case here on earth with us and our earthly fathers, the person listening to your prayers is your loving heavenly Father. How much more is your Father in heaven, Jesus teaches here. And throughout the Bible, the picture given to us of the Father is one of almighty creative power, resurrection power. That's what he holds. He has perfect judgment. He is perfect in his holiness, in his grace, and in his majesty. And supremely, we see what God's fatherly care is like in his relationship to the Son, Jesus the Son. This is my Son, whom I love, he said at his baptism, with whom I am well pleased. And that is his regard to us too, despite our sinfulness. His regard is the same. Why would he be any different in his regard for you, especially when you turn to him in prayer? Why would he be any different to you? God is Dad. God is Dad. When you pray, it's to our Father who loves us. And what a prayer it is. What a prayer. Now, I took a wedding last summer. It was a bilingual wedding. Bilingual and live streamed in English and in Welsh. Boy did they find the not singing very hard. And when we got to the Lord's Prayer, We got to the Lord's Prayer bit. We just blitzed it. We just went for it in English and in Welsh together at the same time in church and on Zoom, and we could hear all the people watching in the valleys praying away. Oh, you should have seen the clouds of spit. En tard, er hunoi tunanuvoi, sanachtai de enu. That's as far as I can get in the Welsh Lord's Prayer, as much as I know. But you can kind of recognize it, can't you? It's universal. And if you've heard the Lord's Prayer prayed in other languages, you can kind of recognize it, can't you? No matter what the language is. Cliff Richard took it to number one at the turn of the millennium. And so when you pray, it's with a pattern to help us that we're given here, a pattern to help us. Now, I think Jesus meant it as a whole prayer, but also as a template for prayer. It serves just as well as that. So let's see the whole prayer on the screen for a second. There's a graphic next, guys. Up we come. Yeah, there we go. Fantastic. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's adoration first. Click. Click. Yay. Your kingdom come. That's worship. Give us each day our daily bread. That's supplication, to use the technical jargon. Asking for stuff. Asking our loving Heavenly Father, who delights to give for the basic needs, the basic things in life. Supplication. Forgive us our sins. That's confession, as we noted earlier. But let's just underline something for a second. While we've got all that up there in front of us, let's just underline something here for a moment. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, gave us these words to pray, these exact words to pray. They're recorded in the Gospels by Luke and by Matthew, and that's why we have them today, for that reason. You know, just think, is there anything else that's recited from the ancient world, anything near the level to which this prayer is recited in common in modern life today? Just think of the number of times it's going to be prayed just today around the world. God ensures that his first hearers of these words, the eyewitnesses, the contemporaries of Jesus, preserved these words just for us. Here they are in the scriptures. The church didn't make up the Lord's Prayer, except to add the glory bit, the doxology bit, at the end, sometime in the first century. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. And so this particular prayer of adoration, worship, supplication, and confession, and you can put other technical words in there too, probably, we are invited to use it by the one whose sacrifice made it possible for us to pray. Not only did Jesus give us these exact words, he provided the access that you and I, us sinners, need to come before our Father. What a prayer. Now, the church has prayed this prayer for two centuries, which means that the average 60-year lifelong churchgoer in England today has prayed them about 1,500 times. I wonder how you're doing on that. When you pray, say, it's to our Father who loves us, and we're given here a pattern to help us. If we could flick on to the next slide, that'd be brilliant. Thank you. And so there's never nothing to pray about, is there, when we got this? There's never nothing to pray about when we have the Lord's Prayer, except, though, we give up, don't we? We give up praying at times, maybe regularly. And that's where Jesus goes next in his lesson on prayer to the disciples and to us today too. Prayerlessness, Christian prayerlessness. It's a massive problem. And so Jesus tells this little story to spur us on to pray more persistently. And it's a funny little tale, isn't it? It's a funny little story, this one. It goes a bit like this. It's late, and you're in bed, in your home, somewhere off Howard Cornish Road. You've done dinner. You've done Strictly. And then the next episode of whatever box set you're on. You're just nodding off, looking forward to an extra hour in bed, because it's the end of October. And then you hear footsteps on the gravel outside, and a faint knock on the door. Well, you pick up your phone, don't you? And you look at your doorbell camera. Fancy, yeah. Phone's in the bedroom, though. Tut, tut. Who on earth is it at this time? Whispers your wife next door. I mean, I don't mean next door. I mean, well, she might be next door, but that's a different sermon, isn't it? And you look at your phone and you say, looks like Phil from next door. The reason I picked the name Phil is because my brother sat over there and that's his name. Fortunately, on your doorbell cam, you've paid for the extra unnecessary self-indulgent version, which means that you can speak to Phil through the doorbell. Someone out there has got one of those, I'm sure. What's the problem, Phil? You say through your phone. Well, our friends have just dropped by unexpectedly. Budgeon's just closed. Have you got any bread? He says. Go away. I can't find the key anyway. And you'll wake up the children. Standard evening in Marcham, I reckon. Never knowingly underfed and all that. I tell you, Jesus says, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your persistence, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. That legendary Marcham hospitality kicking in again, always with a smile on its face. Actually, I shouldn't joke because we have been on the receiving end of what's a wonderful Marcham hospitality. So I'm sure you would get up and give me bread in the middle of the night. But the point is here, it's not that our Heavenly Father is unwilling and must be pressed into answering like a grumpy friend tucked up in bed who can't be bothered to come down and help you. God is eager to give. The whole context makes that patently clear. But if you or I aren't prepared to be persistent in prayer, then maybe we don't want, maybe we don't need what we want very much. Or we don't really believe that God will grant it. This is a lesson here in lukewarm prayer, isn't it? Kind of playing at prayer. No, persistence in prayer brings reward. Pray and do not give up is the parable of the persistent widow a little later on in Luke's gospel. When you pray, pray persistently with persistence to spur you on. Ask, seek, knock, for you will receive, find, and have doors opened. Growing churches, faithful marriages, prosperous businesses, loving families, just about anything else you can think of is sustained and multiplied because of prayer. Correction, because of the gracious God to whom we pray. Otherwise, prayer becomes a work, doesn't it? For I think we can say the way we treat our prayer is often a measure of the way we treat God, isn't it? Yes, if we bring us to a more human level, you know, the way I speak to people I care about is often the measure of how much I love them. Yes, that's prayer to my Heavenly Father. Adoration, worship, supplication, confession. It's the glue in the Christian relationship with God, isn't it? Persistent, consistent faith is marked out by persistent, consistent prayer. Finally, when we pray, it's for a gift that will satisfy us. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, Luke has a particular interest in the person of the Holy Spirit. Matthew's version of ask, seek, knock here just has how much your Father will give good gifts. Now, the best explanation of that is that Jesus taught these lessons on prayer more than once. But in any case, the greatest gift our Father gives through his Son is his very self, his life-giving Spirit, surely. The Spirit whose presence causes us to cry out to God in the first place, Father, Abba, Father. So when you pray, you are showing the presence of the Spirit in your life. You are. Isn't that wonderful? When you pray, you might be praying for healing, for wisdom, for safety, for money, for the rain to stop, whatever it might be, for a parking place. It would seem that actually God thinks our greatest need and his greatest gift to us is himself. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so let us pray then. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for these lessons on prayer. We're sorry that we overcomplicate prayer. Forgive our prayerlessness. Forgive our lack of persistence. Help us with our prayer life, we pray, even before the end of today. Help us to come back to you again in prayer at some point before the day's end. Help us to have a new season in prayer. Maybe the prayer meeting this week will be a good start. Maybe just beginning and finishing each day in prayer in a new way. And thank you, Lord, for this most wonderful prayer which you have given us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Teach us to pray, Lord. Amen.